Please have your Bible ready, open to Proverbs chapter 7. This will certainly repeat instruction previously given in the book of Proverbs and recently covered in our series. But while the same truth is conveyed in this chapter, it is put before us in a very different and dramatic account. And this time, there are aspects of this kind of temptation not emphasized in the previous warnings. Let me start here. When you see someone walk right into destruction, what is your emotional response? One emotional outcome is you desire to warn others not to walk into destruction. And that's what's happening in Proverbs chapter 7. Remember, this repeats instructions and warnings earlier given, but this is expressed through a narrative that really says, I saw something happen, and I don't want this to happen to you, my son. Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words, and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house I have looked out through the lattice. I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner, she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows, so now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon he will come home. With much seductive speech she persuades him. With her smooth talk she compels him. All at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. That's Proverbs chapter 7. I want to begin this study with two simple observations to avoid any distraction. Number one, this is about a certain kind of woman and a certain kind of man. There is no indication that all women are like this, and there is no implication that all young men fall into sin. Keep in mind, as we navigate the passage, this is about a certain kind of woman and a certain kind of man. But I also want us to keep in mind, this is not hypothetical. This is common. This may not happen on a street. It may happen in an office, a nightclub, or through a computer connection, or a phone. So let's just mark down these simple observations as we begin. This is not about every woman and every man, but a certain kind of woman and a certain kind of man. And while some of the details of this scene may not be present in every situation, this kind of moral crash is common. So, as the chapter begins, you can hear the fear and love of a father speaking to his son. And that's the father-son model, so prominent in these early chapters of Proverbs. This is no dry lecture, and this is not a father saying, "Hey, by the way, here's something I saw." No, this is prohibitive. This is in story form, and it is designed to put into the mind of the son the prohibition. Don't do what this man did, who walked right into ruin. This is in story form. The father is saying, "I've seen this happen. I don't want this to happen to you. Please listen to me." The instruction of parents to their young men and women is, this moral crash happens, and we don't want it to happen to you. The instruction we give to you about wisdom is meant to keep you from this kind of ruin. Parents say to their children, or grandparents to their grandchildren, teachers to their students. So the father says, "Here's what I saw." And the narrative begins. He describes the young man in this scene as a young man lacking sense. Other translations have a youth who had no sense, or a foolish young man, or a man void of understanding. This young man may well have been taught to avoid this, but in this scene, he is not giving heed to previous instruction and warning. In this scene, he isn't relying on a close relationship with wisdom. He is a young man lacking moral sense, no discretion or caution, no pause to consider consequence, just emotion, appetite, and the anticipation of a thrill. It seems to me this young man is looking for trouble. He is out in the night, and he is going to a location where this temptation will be likely. You know, that's a step toward ruin many young men have taken. When I was in the Army, if you had a 3-day pass or a weekend off, you were given a piece of paper to show that you were authorized to be off base. And on the back of that piece of paper, there would be a list of places where you were not to go. It was called off limits. So in Columbus, Georgia, where I went through basic training, or Norfolk, Virginia, where I had advanced training, if you were given a pass for the weekend, sometimes the paperwork would have written on it, places off limits for military personnel. And along those streets or in those areas or parts of town, military police would be stationed to turn you back. There are certain places in most cities and even in suburban areas where temptation is just in the air. You're walking around lacking good sense, and you shouldn't even be in that place. So, combine a young man with no good moral sense, going to a place where it is heavy in the atmosphere of seduction, and who is there? A woman dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. Can I stop there and just make a point? You may hear people say, "It doesn't matter what you wear," when passages in the Bible about modesty are read, when warnings are given to young men and young women, you may hear someone dismiss all of that by remarking, "It doesn't matter what you wear." Yet here, the writer makes a point of this. Apparently, she was dressed for the occasion. Now, is it possible to dress in such a manner that you invite a partner into sin? Will anyone condone or recommend being dressed like a prostitute? No, I tell you, with the full power of Scripture behind me, it matters what you wear. This woman in Proverbs 7 was not a common prostitute. She was married, but she dressed the part of a prostitute for purposes of seduction. Purity of heart will show itself in modesty of dress. Yet the young man, lacking sense, goes out in the dark of night to a place that might be labeled off limits, and there she is, the forbidden woman. And she is street smart. She's wily of heart. In the New International Version, with crafty intent, she's loud, wayward, doesn't stay at home. She roams the streets, the marketplaces. At every corner she lies in wait. Her dress and demeanor and footsteps reflect that she is street smart, worldly, knows what or who she is looking for, and she makes her move, seizing the young man with an exciting embrace, and there's very little subtlety here. Listen to her. "I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, and at full moon he will come home." With much seductive speech, she persuades him, and her smooth talk compels him. Common to all temptation, there is the element of promise. "We're going to have such a great time. I've got a nice place. My husband's out of town, and you are the one." Sure, he is the one. He is the one who is the ox who's going to the slaughter. The father gets to the point of the story. "And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death." May I stress again that this isn't a dry lecture on temptation and sexual sin. This is a concerned, passionate father who loves his son. And the Holy Spirit wants to reach all parents with this, and all young men and young women, calling us to wisdom. Many a victim has been caught up in almost exactly the story that's told here in Proverbs chapter 7. Well, where do we take this study? What are some of the lessons for all of us to learn, no matter our age? Number one, parents, you have to have these conversations with your children. Parents are charged by God to send their children into adulthood fully alert to these kind of temptations. In fact, with digital dangers pervasive now, these conversations need to happen very early. I'm not going to give a specific age, but I will suggest you stop and consider, if you give your children digital access, there must be warnings to accompany that access. And there is a discipline that needs to accompany that access on your part. You have to have these conversations with your children, as uncomfortable as it might be. The passion of this father in Proverbs 7 needs to be the passion of every parent. Teach them, warn them, put the hazard signs up, and check their phones and their computers. Two, I'm going to walk out into some sensitive territory here and offer this. If someone in your extended family, among your circle of friends or the church, falls into adultery or a similar moral crash, I think our first impulse may be, with our children, to not talk about it. I was raised in a generation where this was very common, especially among Christians. If there was a moral crash, an affair, or a divorce, it wasn't discussed with children. there was what might be called sort of a code of silence. As children, we suspected something had happened, and sometimes we knew. But we didn't ask our parents, and they didn't talk about it. There was a code of silence. I simply want to ask, is that the best approach today? I know there are smaller children, and there is something to be said about age-appropriate discussions. Yes. But when you get into adolescence and the teen years, I'm just asking that we consider having very frank discussions and using those experiences to punctuate the warnings of moral failure. Similar to this father, here's what I saw. Don't do this. Here's what they did. Don't fall into that trap. Maybe parents need to be honest and have these conversations and tell them, this man made some really bad choices. This marriage has ended. These people are hurt because the instructions from God were set aside. I offer that for parents to consider. Number three, the casualties of sexual sin and betrayal are graphically portrayed by God in His Word. God talked about it. Sometimes I think we may entertain the thought, or we may say, well, sin is sin, no difference, all who sin are guilty. Well, of course, all who sin are guilty. But in the Bible, some sins have consequences that are far-reaching compared to others. And God had this all written for us, for parents and preachers and young people and elders and Bible teachers, all of us. Listen to how the consequences are set forth in the passage. As an ox goes to the slaughter, many a victim has she laid low. Violence, prisoners, innocent people hurt. That's the way consequences are punctuated here. Today, pornography rewires our brains with addictive power and takes prisoners and hurts all sorts of people in the fallout. Through sincere repentance and its fruit, one can be forgiven and rewire the mind back toward God. But let's not underestimate the ruin that occurs with affairs. Sexual immorality, pornography, homosexuality, and lewdness in general. This is real. This is today. Jesus is the remedy. Number four, compare the woman described here with the woman described in Proverbs 31. What an instructive contrast. Both are active, but in opposite directions. The woman in Proverbs 31 fears the Lord. The woman in Proverbs 7 dresses, talks, thinks, and acts opposite the worthy woman in Proverbs 31. After listening to this, please read back through Proverbs 7. Heed the higher call of wisdom, and don't be like the young man without sense or the seductress. Thank you for listening.